aren't going to let me come up here. I only have one Gemara with me. And this, I think, the first time ever that I said a shin, only brought up one Gemara. But at the end of this week's parasha, of course, we have the parasha of Tzitzis. And it has the additional quality of being the last parasha of Kriya Shema. So whatever the chesed of the Torah is, we have the third parasha of Kriya Shema appears before the first two. And that's the end of Parsha Shlach. So take a look a little bit in the midst of Kriya Shema and our understanding of Kriya Shema in general, and maybe the third parasha in particular. And the very interesting halacha that the Mishnah establishes in relation to the third parasha that sets it apart from the others. The Mishnah begins the second parak of Maseches Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Ha'yikari b'Torah v'yigia zman ha'mikra. The man was reading Torah and came time to read Shema in Kivin Liba Yotze. So it points where he was learning anyway. And he got up to the parson. And this is the parasha of Shema. And the point now is talking of time. If you say this parasha, it's the midst of Christmas. So if he has kavana, then he'll be yotze. Now, for some reason that the Mishnah starts with that, that seems like a pretty odd place to start. On a drish level, you can say the Mishnah wants to say, you're really always holding and learning. You shouldn't be starting Krishna from bottling, you should be learning. But if you were learning by the process, even this is how you do it. But, so it says, if you have kavanah yotze, and then the Gemara analyzes what level of kavanah is required, and but that is some kind of an introduction, and now very quickly, the Mishnah changes the subject. Or it seems like it changes the subject. And the Mishnah says, "Biprakim shoyel mipnei akavid umeshiv, ubeemtsa shoyel mipnei ayiru umeshiv divrei meya." So you have a problem when you're in the middle of Shema, and people come along and they address you, or they enter your presence and make eye contact with you, and to ignore them would be rude and under normal circumstances. But now, you're in the middle of Shema. So how do you handle that situation? So, but again, it's interesting, the whole flavor of this Mishnah is about how the Kriya Shema is somehow blending into all the rest of your life. It relates to all the rest of your life. You're learning before, and people are coming, and somehow Kriya Shema has it's a universal thing. It's somehow it's not separate from your life. It's part of your life. So now you have these people. Somebody came. So we say shoyel mipnei akavod. If it's a type of person that deserves to be honored, so you ask him how he's doing, and then you return to wherever you're up to in the Shema. Umeshiv. And you can respond if he addresses you. This is true b'prakim. This is true when you're at the junctures between the parashas. So you finish the first parasha, Shema, before you start V'hayim Shemaya. So Chash V'yid comes up to your table. And then you say, Shalom Aleichem. Or if you're initiated, you say Aleichem Shalom. And then you go back to the second parasha of Shema, and you take up where you left off. That's when it's beprokim. What if it's mamas b'amtsa? He comes in the middle of the parasha. You say, Alav Avecha, you're holding mamas in the middle of the parasha. So then you have to set a higher bar of how social you can be in the middle of the parasha. Middle of the parasha, we say that b'amtsa, shoyel mipnei hayira umeshiv. That's only somebody who is, you hold it in awe an intimidating person. So along comes Rashi, says a very shocking thing. Rashi says, that this heta, that in the middle of Shema you can stop and address somebody who you're afraid of, that's only someone who you're afraid is going to kill you. So anyone below that level of being afraid of, then even though you are afraid and they have all kinds of power to annoy you in different ways, physically, financially, but they're not going to kill you, so then you don't have this din, you're in the middle of Shema, middle of the parasha, you ignore the guy. But if it's the level of year that he's going to kill you, then shalom if near a year. Of course, the obvious kasha is that this you don't have to make a new category called Mifnei Ayir. This is the Din Pikuach Nefesh that should be doicha every mitzvah in the Torah. But that's what Rashi says in the Mishnah. Umeishiv Divir Ameir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'emtsa Shoyim Mifnei Ayir. Umeishiv Mifnei Akovit. Yehuda says that you have to... Now, in Ramea didn't really spell out on the Meishiv side. Rashi says the Gemara is going to deal with it. But the way he presented it was, he said, in the junctures between the parakim, you can address somebody out of covet and you can respond. Unclear what that means. And then he said, in the middle of it, you can address somebody out of fear and respond. But Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, in the middle of the parasha, the man comes along, you're right, Shalom Ifnei Ayir. You can only address him if you're really scared of him. But Meshiv Ifnei Akovet. But if he addressed you first, maybe he wasn't aware that you were saying Shema. Whatever, he probably shouldn't address you if he knows he was saying Shema. But if he addressed you first, and he's a person of Kovet, so then the proper thing is to respond, even though you're in the middle of the parasha. Ubi Prokim, Shalom Ifnei Akovet, Umeishim Shalom L'chaladim. But when you're in between the parashas, you're between Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, you're between Vahayim Shemaya and Vayomer, and the person approaches you, even only not, you're not afraid of him, but he's a mechuvin, that's enough for you to respond. I'm sorry, that's enough for you to address him and offer him a Shalom Aleichem. But Meishim Shalom L'chaladim, but since you're in the middle is already a much bigger cooler, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, anybody who addresses you, you respond. Then the Mishnah goes on and says, Elohim bin Aprakim, what does it mean? What are we calling in between? Bein Bracha Rishon Yelashniya, between the first Bracha and the second. Bein Shniya Yelashma, between the second Bracha and Shema. Bein Shema Levahayim Shemaya, between the first Parsha and the second Parsha. Bein Vahayim Shemaya Levayomer, second Parsha to the third Parsha. Bein Vayomer Emes V'yatsev. And between Vayomer and Emes V'yatsev, same thing. That's what the Tanakhama presents, that all those are considered in between. So if you finish Vayomer, which means you said Ani Hashem Elokeichem, before you said Emes V'yatsev, it's the same halacha as in between. And anyone who greets you, you respond. However, Rabbi Yehuda Aima, Rabbi Yehuda, who is the machma, who was the mekel before, but now he's machma. Rabbi Yehuda Aima, Bein Vayomer LeEmes V'yatsev Lo Yafsik. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's a special chumrah that between the third parsha and Emes V'yatsev, presumably the same thing would be true by Emes V'emunah, that between the third parsha and what's essentially a bracha, it's not even part of the parsha at all, it's Emes V'yatsev, you cannot have any hefsek in between. So, now Rashi doesn't explain how far you have to take that, but lo yafsek, it's considered special chumrah, and even though usually between the junctures you're allowed to respond to anybody, and you can greet a mechuvin, but between vayomer and emes v'yatsev, we don't look at it as being a space. There's no space over there. Since there's no space, so the question is, what then? Is it the same as being in the middle of a parasha? Or is it even more common than being in the middle of a parasha? And so that's a big issue in the Pesach. But Rashi in the Mishnah doesn't make any comment on that subject. So now we get to the Gemara, and there's quite a piece of Gemara here in the middle. Some gets onto some tangents, but at one point in the Gemara wants to analyze what did Ramea do here in the Reisha, because Ramea had this funny presentation. He said that in between you can ask somebody, greet somebody who's a mechubin, and you can respond. In the middle, you can greet someone you're afraid of and respond. But it didn't say clearly what's the level of is responding the same as the greeting. So the Gemara says, well, you know what, maybe he really means that you go down a notch, taka. That's what he means. He didn't spell it out, but he means that you greet a person, in the times when you're allowed to greet a person who you're afraid of, you can respond to someone who is a mechubit. In the times when you can greet a person who is a mechubit, you can respond to anybody. So Gemara says, no, you can't say that, because that's the same as Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, oh, all right, you're right. So, no. So you're right. So you have to read it like this. You read it that Ramea holds, you can greet and respond, there's no difference. That's the point. So, in the times when you can greet out of fear, you respond out of fear. And in the times when you can greet out of honor, you respond out of honor. But you don't have these two levels, greeting and responding. Greeting and responding are equal, according to Ramea. But Yehuda is the only one who introduces this idea that greeting and responding are two tiers. Okay. There's a funny piece of Gemara where the Gemara actually wants to first learn Ramea to mean that you go down a notch, as if that more would fit better into the language. And then, wait a second, they bumped into that's the same as Rabbi Yehuda, so they had to back down. There's a funny kind of... And then they say a thing which L'chaira is, I would have thought, sounds more like the language to begin with. He says, you greet for Yira and Yemesha. You greet for Kavan and Yemesha. Doesn't sound like that big a doichik in the language to say that that's what it means. It's the same level. So it's interesting that the Gemara lays out that structure. But that's the Gemara, and the Gemara calls it Achsuri Masri even. This is Achsuri Masri. You have to add the fact that you greet and you respond on the exact same level. That's like Achsuri Masri. Okay, so that's what the Gemara determines. Then the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi. And sure enough, there's a braisa that confirms that. Hakari Yeshma. A man is reading Shema. Pagabai Rabbi Yagadol Himenu. And he was confronted by a person who is his Rebbe, or a greater person than him. B'prakim Shalom Efnei HaKavad, Ben Tzarech Loim Meshu Meshu. U'be'em Tzarech Shalom Efnei Yirah, Ben Tzarech Loim Meshu Meshu. The Ramea says that same that... In between, honor is the standard, both for greeting and responding. And in the middle, fear is the standard. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shalom Pnei Yira, Meshim Pnei HaKavad, B'prakim Shalom Pnei HaKavad, Meshim Shalom HaKavad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's two tiers. That when you're allowed to greet out of fear, you can respond out of honor. When you can greet out of honor, you can respond to anybody. Okay, and that, so the Gemara comes to that conclusion, that's the Masgana. And then, again, goes off into other tangents. Works its way back. Till now we get to the last halacha, that there's a special category of between Vayomer and Emes V'Yatzah, Lo Yafsik. They finally come back to that later. Yeah, like they bring in the Sefer, Elohim Ben HaProkim V'Chulu, they bring in the two dots, you know, these are the words from the Mishnah. And then it says, Amar Bavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, D'Amar Ben HaLekechem L'Emes V'Yatzah, Lo Yafsik. Rabbi Avoh said the name of Rabbi Yechon, and we passed like Rabbi Yehuda on this. Even though it's sort of a Stam Mishnah arguing with him, and you might think that it's like, or consider Stam Mishnah, or like Chachamim connected Rabbi Yehuda when there's no name against him. But you say, no, the Allah took Rabbi Yehuda on this, that being Elekechem Lam Sviyatz V'Liyafsik. I'm Rabbi Avoh, I'm Rabbi Yechon. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. And it's interesting when the Chazal does this, there's only a few places where this happens, where they say the member of what the halach is, and then they say the member of what the tam is, but it's the same mandamo, it says the halacha and he says the tam, but they separate it out, and the minhag, the tam and vav, it's separated into two members. It's a similar thing by later by Baramini Deshoyim. First they say halach Rabbi Yehuda, then they say my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Same style. But it's not that common. But it's interesting, they make two separate members out of it. One is that halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, And the other one is, my time in Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? The Siv Hashem Elokim Emes. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Navi that he says, Hashem Elokim Emes. So somehow, because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Navi who puts Hashem Elokim together with Emes, so that educates us that Hashem Elokim goes, has a relationship with Emes. And consequently, we understand that if you're going to make a hefzik between the Ani Hashem Elokechem at the end of the third parashah and the Emes V'Yatziv in the beginning of the bracha, that that's going to not be in concert with that pasuk. So that pasuk shows you there's an idea. But maybe the way to say it is like this, that we understand that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah put that bracha over there to be mekayim that pasuk. That's why they put it there, to be mekayim that pasuk. If they put it there to be mekayim the pasuk, then we should honor that placement, because the whole idea of the placement is for it to be together. But however you understand that this pasuk somehow becomes the time for that halacha, and then this same Adam Rabbi Vohem Rabbi Yechanan says that halacha Rabbi Yehuda, that we, this is a convincing argument, the reasoning is strong, we're going to go like Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a very strange Rashi here when he brings the pasuk of Hashem Elokim Emes. So he says, what, my timer? Because it says in the pasuk of Hashem Elokim Emes. So Rashi says, Lekach ein mafsikin ben ani Hashem Elokechem l'emes. That's a very strange Rashi, because he doesn't seem to really add any logic. The Gemara says, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you should say Hashem Elokechem together with emes. My time, because the pasuk says Hashem Elokechem emes. So Rashi says, yeah, lekach ein mafsikin, you can't be mafsik, because... But he doesn't really add any surah. He just says the pasuk. So, what is this Rashi trying to communicate to us that we didn't know, or that we wouldn't know? So this question was asked to me by my Talmud, very chashuv Talmud of mine, Rabbi Yisrael Shaw, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Magid Shir in Chon Shlomo in Eretz Yisrael. He asked me this question. So, this question was my army to an understanding that expanded my previous understanding of the sugya, but he took me to another step. And I think it's very valuable. So let's go back, look at the Mishnah. I'll show you how I learned the Mishnah. And then the Fizeh, I think we could see what that Rashi is doing. Now, I would add one more very important observation, which is that in this Rabbi Vohem Rabbi Yochanan, who says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but he actually changes the language of Rabbi Yehuda. That's a very unusual thing. The Mishnah says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bein vayoymer l'emes v'yatzev v'yafsik. The Mishnah said, you're not masi between vayoymer, that's the code word for the third parasha, the short the initials of the parasha. So we say between the parasha and the emes v'yatziv. But Rabbi Vohem Rabbi Yochanan halach Rabbi Yehuda d'amar bein elokechem l'emes v'yatziv l'yafsik. He changes the language to say that. Now, of course, it was always true that that's what it meant. The Mishnah says between vayomer, the last word in the parasha vayomer is elokechem. But the way the Mishnah presented it is, you're not mafsik between Vayomer and Emes V'Yatziv. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, you know, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that Bein Elokechem Emes V'Yatziv Layafsik. It's very interesting that he reformulates the Mishnah in the course of passing like it. So, what's he trying to teach us with it? So, I think like this. The Mishnah does a very, very odd thing. In that it changes the language within the same Mishnah in describing the same thing. The Mishnah, when the Mishnah started, it said Biprakim Shor B'Pnei Kavod. One mandama says Biprakim, in the gaps you can greet for Kavod. The other one says you not only can greet for COVID, you can respond to everybody. The prakim. And then when the Mishnah wants to explain what the prakim are, it says, Elohim Beina prakim. There's a thing called prakim. So now tell me, Elohim prakim. You know, you want to explain to me what the prakim are. But now you say, Elohim Beina prakim. Beina prakim, which is a shift in the language away from prakim. Now the truth is, in Hebrew, those are really two separate words. Because perek means two things. It either means a segment, like perek aleph, perek beis, perek gimel, or perek means a juncture where two things meet. Like in the knee, the elbow, the ankle, the wrist are called prakim.
And what's mefarek? How does that show?
Mefarek is when you undo the connection. In Hebrew, a lot of times you use the same words for the thing itself and the opposite. Kedusha and Kadesha, those kind of, you have that idea. So the
verb.
Mefarek is when you separate. So, but on the connection side, we have these two. They mean two different. They're two separate words for prakim. They're related and some level, but because when you put segments together, there's joints that connect the segments. But they're still separate words. There's the perek as the segment and the perek as the juncture. When you say bein haprakim, that means between the segments. When you say biprakim, that means at the junctures. So in the beginning of the Mishnah, we introduced this halacha as something that takes place biprakim, at the junctures, where the prakim meet. But we call that biprakim. We focused on the meeting point. And then we says, Elohim Beina prakim. And by the way, which are the places that are between the two segments? So it's a very usual thing for a Mishnah, in the course of the same Mishnah, to change the language on what's essentially the same halacha, the same physical reality, and we describe it in two different ways. And ostensibly explaining, like the Sefer starts to be explaining the reason. Now, this Mishnah also does a very different thing that's usually not commonplace in Mishnayos, which is that the first Tana and the second Tana reverse the order of the subjects. The rule generally is in Mishnayos that if there's a machlokes that affects two subjects, that we will present them in that sequence. So in other words, let's say you have in the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, they talk about, the Tanakhama says, what's the din when you capture a bird, and what's the din when you capture a tzvi? And Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the din when you capture a bird and you capture a tzvi? They have different standards, but they follow the same sequence. Over here, the Biprakim Shama Pnei Kavod Ameshav Emsa Shama Pnei Yir Ameshav Div Rameyah. Rameyah said first the Prakim and then the Emsa. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Bemsa Shama Pnei Yir Biprakim Shama Pnei Kavod. So Rabbi Yehuda reversed the order and he did the Emsa before the Prakim. Right, but I'm just showing you that that's not the halacha of the Mishnah. It's not the usual Seder of Mishnah. I'm showing you the Gemara saw the Seder of Mishnah. He said, you're not Pasuk of my design. You go A-B-A-B. You don't go A-B-B-A. So over here, this Mishnah is really out of the ordinary structure. And there's one other very interesting Diak in the Rashi. Or maybe two. When it talks about Beprakim, Rashi says, Ulakaman Mefarsh Lubin Masnisin. Bein Pasha Rishayna Lishniya, Bein Shniya Lishma. A very strange Rashi that he says, Lakaman Mefarsh Lubin Masnisin, as if it's way down the line. The Mishnah says immediately afterwards, it says, Beprakim, Emsan, and then he's answered Beprakim, Elohim Bein Beprakim. So Rashi tells you that Lakaman Mefarsh Lubin Masnisin. In the Kalali Rashi at the end of, that's printed in the end of Maseches Brachos from the Sefer Shiur Knesset Gedolah. He says over there that Lakamon means far away. Lakame means close. Lakamon means far. So But even, you know, even in Lekame is modern, you know, what's the problem? It's right here. Right, Rashi said, later they're going to explain it. And then he starts quoting it. He's nervous that you can't even wait that long. So he jumps ahead, he starts quoting it. He says, well, come in with Lishma. And then even when he quotes it, he brings the parshas. Although the later list starts with the brachas. So they on the side, they want to change the gist. So there's some issues. But the point is, it's odd that the Rashi jumps ahead to tell you to look ahead in the Mishnah, and he starts quoting it. The other very interesting thing, Rashi says, "Be'emtza habracha oy hapasu." So Rashi does create an equivalence that this din be'emtza in the Mishnah, the chumra of emtza that you have, would apply by bracha as well. It's not the chumra of emtza is not limited to pasus of Shema. But the Chumra of Emtza applies by brachas as well. A very interesting chiddush, and of course in the Paiskim, not everybody holds that way. So, I think the idea is like this. Rashi's understanding that there's a whole statement in this Gemara, even though there's little gaps because the Gemara is interspersed with other discussions. But that really, the Gemara is shifting its understanding of the Mishnah. And by the time it gets to Rabbi Yochanan, who's paskling the din of the Yom Lemes V'yatsiv, there's an upshot in that din, which is why he's going to change the language. There's a shift going on here. Our initial understanding was like this. We know the rule generally is that in a Mishnah, the two Tanoim have the same basic premise. You don't have, usually it's rare for the Tanoim to be chaylik on the premise of how the whole halacha works. They generally agree on how the halacha works, and they argue over details. However, occasionally there are mishnayos that are an exception to this, where they're arguing on the yesod, where the two tanoim have a whole different mahalach in how the halacha works. So, but when that happens, there are clues in the language. The Mishnah will do things in the language to tell you that they're going on a different mahalach. It's not just going to say this one says chayav, this one says pata, if they're arguing on the yisoid. Because chayav and pata just means they're arguing on that detail, chayav and pata. But if it wants to tell you they're arguing on the yisoid, it's going to communicate that to you in the presentation. So the beginning of the sugya, the passage of this Mishnah is that this Mishnah is telling you that Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda are chaylik in the basic understanding of what. It's not just that he's a little more machmir by a hefstik, and he's a little less machmir by a hefstik. But they're arguing on the basic understanding of what Krishna is and how it's structured. Because we know the Chazal like to call Krishna, in shorthand, they like to call it Kabbalat Malchus Shamayim. Well, it's all Malchus Shamayim. So, the question is, this mitzvah in the Torah, to say Kriya Shema, is that mitzvah thoroughly defined by the idea of Kabbalat Malchus Shamayim, and the language is just the way you do it? Or is the mitzvah to say these passes? The Rishagasai's language is not too different than this, but certainly today this would be the way to say it in the sprach of the Bnei Yeshiva. If there's a mitzvah, you makabel malchus shemayim, and theoretically, let's say you have by benching, there's a mitzvah to bench, and they made all these brachas. And then the Chazal says, if Binyamin Rayek, there was a shepherd, all he said is, thank you Hashem for the bread, that he was really making the essential core of the mitzvah. Of course, he didn't have the matbeah shetavah chacham, and he didn't have all the parts of it. But the real essence of the mitzvah on some level is just to express gratitude to Hashem for the food. So, it's in that same type of a way, you could understand that that's how Krishna is. Krishna really is that you have to stop in the morning before you do anything, and you have to say, Hashem's the boss. And then at night, you have to say it again. So, which is either one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, depending on the Rambam and the Rama. But the point is that that's your job, to say Hashem's the boss. Along come the Chazal, and they either the Torah tells them to use these passes, or the pshat is that they Torah says you can choose the parsha, and they chose the parsha. However it works, but the point is, this is a nusach for Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. If this is a nusach for Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, then once they're together, they're really together. It's one. Then it's not really three parshas. In the Chumash, they're three parshas, but here they're not really three parshas. They're really, this is the signaling of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim that the Chazal instituted of how you mekayim this bracha. So, like Binyamin Raya, maybe can be mekayim it just by saying, "I'm a Kabbalah, Hindi Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim." But you know, maybe not. I don't know. But just as a dogma. But the Chazal said, that this is the signal of it. So, and Faket, in the Rashi's Mashmer, even the Brachas. The Brachas, it's all part of it, everything, the whole thing. The Brachas, the Passes, it's all, even though Brachas is written by the Antichrist Sagdavas, that's not even in a Chumash, in a Novi, any place. It's the signal of Chazal. So, and yet we say Be'emsa is Be'emsa. But I'm saying, but this is only something you're going to say in Rameya, in the initial presentation of the Mishnah. In other words, that Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda are not going to be equal on this. But Rameya, who's Machmir on Hefsik, we're understanding, because Rabbi Yehuda is the first one who talks about Kol Adam. So before we even really understood the Rameya, so exactly what he's saying, but we know he's the Machmir on some level. So we say, oh yeah, Rameya is Machmir on Hefsik, because he holds that really it's always Be'emsa. Even in the Prakram it's Be'emsa. But the Pshat is this, they're like, it's not Bein HaPrakram, because there are no Prakram. There are no really separate parts to it. This is the signal that the Chachamim has established. But because this is a Bracha, that's a Bracha, this is a Parsha, that's a Parsha, so they're like, they're Biprakram. So the whole language of Biprakram is really the language of Rameya. And that's why we flip it around, because Rabbi Yehuda just borrows the language to stay in the conversation, but he really has a whole different understanding of it. So Rameya says that the truth is you're always Bamsa, because it's one big language of the Chachamim, from the Baruch HaTzah until Gal Yisrael. Everything, it's one, that's one thing. But there's a little bit, Markham to be Michael, Biprakim in certain natural stopping points. The natural stopping points within a larger text. But along comes Rabbi Yehuda, says, no, Faket. This is a bracha, this is a bracha, it's a combined mitzvah to say really, and the brachas are going to taka be less in Rabbi Yehuda's world. And Rashi would probably be mud in Rabbi Yehuda that the Be'emtza might not include Be'emtza bracha. Emtza bracha might not be so chama. He might only be Emtza pasha. But the point is that in Rabbi Yehuda, he's understanding that they're separate. There's a mitzvah, you know, like you take four minim in the lulav, so you say these three parshas, but you're really saying three parshas of the Torah. Now, yes, there's a havana here that the Eibush has made us such a mitzvah because there's a cumulative sense of Kabbalah Zohar that emerges from it. But the mitzvah is say these parshas. That's the mitzvah, and there's certain clues in the Chumash that these are the parshas. And the Chazal, and that's the mitzvah. B'shachpo, k'machad, there's little clues in the parshas. These are the parshas. Say these three parshas every day. And the Chazal, what's in there? You look what's in there, you'll see the Yonim. And there's another mishnah that says there's really 10 Yonim in the Krishna, because it's all in this spirit. Once it's really to say parshas, so then whatever you find in there, it's all good. It's all part of the mitzvah. So, but once the mitzvah is three parshas, then it's taka bein aprakim. Then when you're in the spaces, you're really in a much more cooler dicker space than the other system. So the emtza is more cooler because there is no really one, matbeah of chachamim. It's not one mitzvah to say the one thing. So even the emtza is a stick more cooler contributor, and the prakim is surely more cooler contributor. Right, so that's what I'm saying. Now, so what the Mishnah did, this unusual language, to immediately after Rabbi Yehuda say, Elohim ben HaPrakim, that's what Rashi said, you know, Lakaman, they're going to explain. Because by then they already signaled you that there's a shift. So he's saying you that even this earlier piece is being Samech on that for the information. But there is a shift over there, it's Lakaman. You have to pass a certain line, and then we're talking differently.
Well, what's the difference with the whether or not Krishma is the text of the Kabbalah, or the Kabbalah, or the Kabbalah,
Because the Rabbanon were tasked by Min HaShemayim to establish a language of how a Yid should be Mekabel Malchus HaShemayim. And the language starts from the beginning of the Bracha, and then at the end of the Bracha, including the process, the Bracha.
Why is the Bracha dismissed
anyway? Because it's not a Bracha. It's part of a signaling of a mitzvah of Malchus HaShemayim. At the point where Rashi says Be'emtza means even Emtza Bracha, saying that would be the way of understanding. We don't pass like a man. You have to worry about that. I want to tie into that. What happens here in Amud Beis, when the Gemara says, wait a second, maybe Ramei himself means Meshav Shalom and Kol Adam. It's because the Gemara went away from that idea. What caused it to go away is the question. But the Gemara really went away from that idea and said, no. That really, Ramei is also going to be murdered for Yehuda. And we're not going to any longer assume that anybody holds that it's all one thing. And at this point, so even though in the end we say, it can't be Haimed Rabbi Yehuda, it can't always be the same, so we're going to have him being a little machna, but we went through that whole process of saying, maybe Ramei holds Meshav L'Psalm Mechal Adam, and then we said, no, that would be the same. So, okay, so it's not the same. But the point is, we really go away from that idea, and we say, no. The end is, the Maskana, we're going to assume that everyone is Meshav to this side, that Avad and the Mitzvah is just to say these passages. From these passages, there emerges a certain message, or maybe multiple messages, but the mitzvah is to say these passages. Okay. So I think that with Fizeh, that the understanding of Vayomer Emes V'Yatzav Layafzik, it actually changes depending on the beginning and the end of the sukkah. Of course, what did Rashi say in the Mishnah of Nei Yira? Within a year, Rashi says, you got to be afraid the guy's going to kill you. Really? But then later, after the Gemara, now, in our understanding, we cool down and we said, even Ramei is murdered that they're separate pieces. Then we said, Tani Nami Ochid is a Brisa. And in the Brisa, it says, Hakari Eshmal, Pogaboy Rabbi, or Godel Himenu, Beprokim Shalom of Nea Kovid, Bamsa Shalom of Nea Yira. They now establish Yira and Kovid within Rabbi and Misha Godel Himenu. We took it away from the nobody's killing you, right? Mipnei Yira means Rabbi because this is Din Meir HaRav, and Mipnei Kovid means Misha Gadol Himenu because he's this Kovid. So at this point, one of the things that happens in that Tani Nami Hachi is that it tells you that once you go away from that, really the whole idea that we had, we thought that there's a Chumrah that maybe your mamash needs Sakana. That's only in the Havamin. Avad Matskana Rashi is not going to paskin that Mifnei Yira is only a guy who's going to kill you. Rashi is going to be more than like we paskin Shulchan Aruch that Mifnei Yira means you Rebbe. That's enough of Mifnei Yira. So why did Rashi say in the Mishnah that the guy is killing you? Because in the Mishnah he said only Ramei in the starting point of the sugya. The starting point of the sugya was that there's one signet over here that, and the mitzvah is that you, so then it's like b'shrayav davay dezori, it's much more, it goes into the whole parsha of where there's marking from a serious nefesh, because the mitzvah is defined as kabbalah malchus shemayim. You have and we learn out mitzvahs nefesh from b'chol ma'adecha, from b'chol levavcha in this parasha. Because the parasha is, if the mitzvah mamash is accepting Hashem, and so then you wouldn't be able to use the regular systems of pikuach nefesh. We have to come on to this gira. But now that we go away and we say, no, it's a regular mitzvah to say these passages, yeah, it comes out a lot of nice messages from it and in Malchus Shemayim and other Yonim that are big covered Shemayim, but already it's not. So then Mifnei Yira means the Rebbe. So once that happened, I'm saying that's going to change the end, because in the original, the passage of the Mishnah, the language is that being Vayom Elamis V'yatzev V'yafzik is more common than everything else. Especially Rabbi Yehuda himself. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's Mekel on Hefzik. Rabbi Yehuda is easier to respond, for sure. He's the Mekel of Hefzik. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Mekel of Hefzik, comes along and he's Machma, being Vayom Elamis V'yatzev V'yafzik. So he's very severe on that. But still, we couldn't really take it to the maximum, because if in the Mishnah we're still considering that the Yira is maybe to the point where the guy is killing you, so then certainly it can't be worse than that. There's no harm in me that is going to be more of a chama, and you have to be killed for it. So that certainly nobody's going to learn that way. So in the Mishnah where the b'amtzah was more chama, we had to be doichik that is b'yom elamis v'yatzir is not really more chama. But now we came to an idea that no, that avada, all it needs is mara rabbi. So all it needs is mara rabbi. So now we're going to go back and say, you know what, Hashem lekechem emes is more chama. If it's more chama, how could it be more chama? Right, like the Vilna Gaon asks. In b'amtzah means b'amtzah pasuk also, he says. So even if you found a pasuk in Yirmiyah, it puts him in one pasuk. But even b'amtzah pasuk, you could stop and be mesher. So, but the teretz is according to this, it's very good. That now that we understand that the mitzvah itself is many things. The mitzvah is seidis, parashas, and all this. So that pasuk in Yirmiyah tells us that this is the putting elikechem together with emes is sort of the punctuation of what we're saying here. We're saying all these different things and put it all together, and you're supposed to deher the climax of all this. What we're trying to explain to you with all these three pasuks is that Hashem elikechem emes. That's what we're leading up to. That's the point. You're supposed to put that all together. So we take that pasuk from Yirmiyah and we put together with the emes. And so that nekuda is the nekuda that we don't want to lose. That's the nekuda that we're going to be more machmir. So it's not that the third pasha and the bracha have more shaykhs. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan changes the law to the Mishnah. It's not being v'yom elamis v'yatziv le'afsik. It's not that the third parasha and the first bracha have to go together. No, the pshat is that the word elikechem and the word emes have to go together. That's what Rashi says. Lekach imafsikim in ani Hashem elikechem lemes. This is the nekud of Rabbi Yochanan. There's not being v'yom elamis v'yatziv le'afsik. It's being Hashem elikechem and emes le'afsik. Because at the end of all these three parashas that we're saying three random parashas and making a mitzvah out of it, is the nekuda here of the Chazal to be kaveya using the pasuk in Yirmiyah to punctuate that what we're trying to say, putting all of this together, we're saying Hashem elikechem emes. Hashem is true.